We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We welcome in one of the heroes for the Knicks tonight, Deuce McBride. Deuce, Kenny Albert, walk blind, Frazier. 9 threes, so Dante DiVincenzo sets the record just 48 hours ago. Were you thinking about it?
Nah, I just wanted to come in here and get the win.
What has been the difference in your three-ball shooting, man? You've really been focused on making those threes.
Honestly, I trusted my work, trusted God, and just kept my confidence, start going in.
You finished with 29 points, matching your career high set during the last road trip in Golden State, but so many heroes for the Knicks tonight, and Mitchell Robinson returned, missed 50 games. What did that mean to you and the entire Knicks squad?
Oh, it's been big. Mitch has been working his ass off, just making sure he's getting back ready to help us. He's an anchor back there defensively, and what he does on the offensive rebounding, you can't compare it, so we're happy to have him back.
37 assists tonight, man. That's an aberration for you guys. But now you're looking for the open man.
Yeah, definitely. Our game plan was, just find the open guy and making sure that we're moving off the ball and, light him up.
Thanks, Deuce. Congratulations on the victory.
Appreciate it.
Deadward 604. Did Jared Allen poop his pants a little when he read Mitch was back tonight? I'll hang up and listen. Sing a different tune. The fact that like every NBA media person and obviously a lot of Knicks fans have gone full tilt with like the Cavs want no part of the Knicks. This is now like a national media talking point. Like you hear Zach Lowe say it, you hear Brian Windhorst say it. And like, of course, like we get why they say it. We all watched the series last year. We watched, games of those teams played this year. I am at the point where I'm like, let's exercise a little bit of caution in terms of one, that's a really talented team over there. It's a shell of themselves without Donovan Mitchell, to be very clear. And I do think Jared Allen is overrated. I've always thought he's pretty overrated. He's had the best year of his career this year, even better than the year he made the All-Star team, in my humble opinion. I don't trust that guy in games when it gets nasty. All that being said, they still have a lot of talent. Their hurt is all hell right now. They don't have Strus in addition to not having Mitchell or the immortal Dean Wade. Shout out Fred Katz. But I don't know, man. They have a lot of talent. And if they got to a point where they were just like, everybody is like, we are the joke of the league in this specific context in terms of people think that we don't stand a chance against this team, that's the sort of thing that could really fire a team up. That's the sort of thing that could really light a fire. And like, do we really need to light a fire under Donovan Mitchell's ass if he's back and healthy? That's the only thing that's giving me a little bit of pause at this point. Now, all that being said, we may not face the Cavs in the playoffs. So we'll see. By the way, and again, shout out to our sponsor, T2 Social, T-Squared Social. Go watch all your sporting events there, 42nd Street in New York City. Significant out-of-town score. A game went into overtime and probably shouldn't have gone into overtime because the Rockets were up by 3 late. The Houston Rockets have extended their winning streak to 10 games by beating the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma City tonight. to remain, I believe, a half game back of the Golden State Warriors for 10th place in the West. This Warriors thing, or excuse me, this Rockets thing is wild. And just one of the wilder things I've ever seen watching this league.
Very wild. You could have watched it at T-Squared Social if you wanted to, and you're out for a Wednesday night in New York City. Yeah. By the way, I appreciate the brake pumping, the pumping of the brakes on the Cavs slander.
No, you don't.
Do you want to know another entity that is saying that the Knicks have the Cavs number and the Cavs don't want to play the Knicks?
Let me guess, like a Cavs content creator?
The Cavs. Yeah, the Cavs know that we have their number. The official podcast of the Cavs that like has people close to the team is like, oh yeah, like they're shook. Like you're the boogeyman. I know we're not in the position of being the boogeyman, but Knicks are five.
You respect the opponent. That's all I'm going to say.
Fine. Respect the opponent. The opponent is terrified of their opponent.
Great.
And I understand in pickup games with Scarlet Ray or Izzy, you would not go in being like, oh, this is over, right? You would take it seriously and you would respect the opponent and play 48 minutes and there'd be rim protection and your daughters would be like, I can't beat daddy. He just never lets up. And it's a good mindset.
Listen,
respectfully, in that analogy,
yeah,
the Knicks are you and the Cavs are your daughters. Knicks in five.
I played my daughter in chess tonight. I took it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I beat her.
And just like in a first round matchup against the Knicks would probably win that chess match against the Cavs as well. Again.
Okay. Continuing. Al Boogie NYC up 24 and Brunson takes charge. Hashtag leader. I wrote it down. I noted it was my first note from the third quarter because by the second half, I kind of stopped taking notes in this game. But I took note of that. One of one. I love that other guys are getting attention. I love that Deuce McBride's getting attention. I love that Josh Hart has been getting his flowers. I love DiVincenzo's been getting his flowers. Chua, now Mitch, Hardenstein, all these guys getting their flowers. Great. Give them all the flowers in the world. This team is fucking nowhere without Jalen Brunson. And I'm happy that we got a comment in regards to him tonight. Isaiah Jackson, what's going on, man? Precious has been the greatest surprise. Yeah. I didn't expect this. I grant that I had not watched him nearly as closely as I would have liked to, but I knew that there was tantalizing talent. But when you hear about a guy that like has flashes, to me, that connotates just like a very frustrating player, because by definition, if they show flashes, then there are also a lot of periods of time where they're not showing flashes, because otherwise they wouldn't be flashes. And I think we saw that when he first came here. I think we saw that where he would play these 8, 10, 12 minute stints and there would be like a play here or a play there. But like for the first month he was here, that dude was like a punching bag, but from the fan base in terms of like, oh man, we got to deal with more Precious Chua minutes. So great of him to turn it around, and it's a really good sight to see. Guy Hooper then, coincidence that Bogey looks better without Burks. I mean, I thought the ball moved better in those minutes without Alec. That's the thing, is like Alec's like he's been a black hole. So I don't know. Ultimately it's probably a coincidence, but maybe not. Thanks, Guy Hooper. Sam L, what's going on, Sam? Hart has been the initiator in the non-Brunson minutes. He has. I still think Deuce is doing a little bit more. You know, it may only be a couple of plays here and there, but I feel like the offense has been flowing better in those minutes, and he's obviously part of that. Now, maybe it's just his spacing, and I'm perceiving it because of his spacing, but I want to see more. I want to see more of him. Like without, I love him with Brunson on the court. I want to see more of him without Brunson on the court. And I want to see it specifically. And I know the minutes did not go well in January, but I want to see it specifically with Julius Randle. And see what we could do with that. and we'll go from there. David R. What's going on, David? Mitch's handle, skills competition next year. That was so cool that he put it on the floor a few times tonight. That was great. Especially that one possession I think you're talking about early on in the game. I mean, you know he loves this stuff, but I don't, you know. Mitch is so fascinating, man. Like, what a wonderful player. What an easy guy to root for. He clearly has so much more that he wants to do. And yet, he has thoroughly embraced his role here and done, especially the last few years, like everything they've asked and then some. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Will he continue truly to embrace being a backup center? And, you know, they're going to have some interesting decisions to make this summer. And I think largely those decisions may be out of their hands, depending on what trade scenarios may develop. But I'm really happy Mitch is back. I'll say that. Robert W. Cross. Here it is. Curious what's on his mind tonight. First time, long time, it's your boy John. I am not afraid of Boston. Let's brawl. 55% chance. 55%. Let's freaking go, Knicks. Write the Tibbs book. Love ya. Hashtag 53 wins. I don't know what 55% is referring to.
He gives us a 55% chance to win.
A 55% chance to win. Well, look, I'm just going to tell you the numbers. There have been, I did it with Andrew on the Patreon pod last week. There have been four. I don't know if their net rating has gone down because they lost to the Hawks recently. I don't know if it's gone down by enough to drop them in the rankings of what I'm about to say. But as of last week, their average margin of victory was the fifth highest in NBA history. And the four teams that had a higher average margin of victory all went on to win the NBA championship. And the rest of the top 10 were like legendary teams. And I think two of them lost to two other teams in the top 10, the 16 Spurs. And I want to say the 72 Bucks, you know, and like, yeah, sometimes great teams lose. The 73 win Warriors did not win the championship. There was quite a confluence of events that caused that. I'm not saying the Celtics team is the 73 win Warriors because they don't have Steph Curry or they don't have anyone on the level of Steph Curry. Jason Tatum is an excellent player. I think I trust my guy. I trust our guy, Brunson, more than I trust Tatum in the last 5 minutes of a close game. That's big because that means you just got to keep it close. Now, the problem is keeping it close because there are some nights with that Boston team where it doesn't matter what you do. They're just going to blow you out of the water because if certain of their guys are just making shots and nothing you do matters. We'll see. Hashtag Nixon five. There we go. Thank you, Andrew. All right. Robert W. Cross has one for the legend of GMAC. I may go fill up my cup of water and let Andrew answer this. I am eyeing a 50 person party bus for KFS and the Eastern Conference Finals. Should we get a bigger one? I'll let you take this.
Robert, not only do you not have to, because I didn't realize that they had buses that big at the loony bin where you reside, but we probably would just like ask them to fly you. I don't know if they allow straitjackets on an airplane, but fly you to New York for like a watch party at T-Squared Social. Like we'd rather, or like a victory party at T-Squared Social where we could watch like all the post game coverage, maybe even like the end, maybe we do like a game watch party there. So yeah, I will say, well, you could save the money on the bus and just join us at T-Squared Social for said events. No need for a party bus. We have a watch party location that loves us very dearly.
It's like a party bus, except it has no wheels.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Next up.
Giovanni Mistretta. Two things. First, welcome back, Mitch. Second, precious poster made Mensa break out into a song. I missed it. I wasn't watching the watch along. I was a bad friend.
You're fine. You're watching the game the way you watch it. We like to see said poster? Yes,
I would.
Yeah, I will. I think it'll get top ratings of the post game in history. I'll let people know you're asking the question.
Oh! 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 Hold up. Take me to the king. Oh, my goodness. I don't have much to bring. Oh, God. He got the bag. Oh, that's wow. Dirty.
This is my new favorite thing is the post game of the watch along. The Knicks causing Mensa to start an altar call.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Truly incredible.
It's my new favorite thing.
Giovanni finishes. Love this team. Let's fucking go next. Yeah, that was a nice poster. That's going to be a fun one.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Giovanni. Frank Miranda. Oh, we don't get to hear from him that much anymore. When we do, though, I don't, what is it? I don't always drink beer, but when I do, make it a Dos Equis. I actually don't care for Dos Equis. But. Okay. Frank Miranda. What's up, Mac? It's your boy, Frank from Patreon. I've seen enough. It's officially time to give Tibbs his flowers. This coach can turn me into a functional, can turn me into a functional NBA rotation player. He's not getting enough praise, pressing every right button. It's nice to see. If the goal here was to get me to wax poetic about Tom Thibodeau, I mean, here, you know what? Can we use this as an excuse to do a little advanced stats update?
I got it ready. Where do you think the Knicks are in net rating?
I looked at this earlier today. I think they're still fifth.
They are fifth.
But did they move up from sixth? I think they were sixth before.
They were behind the Nuggets. So the Nuggets are currently playing against the
Phoenix Suns, and they are down by eight.
There you go. And the Knicks are now fifth in net rating, right behind the Pelicans, who play the Milwaukee Bucks next. So,
yeah, and well, hold on. We'll go back to that in a second. What are they in offense and what are they in defense?
Now 10th in offense and 7th in defense. They have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense.
So that's obviously notable. Mm-hmm. I think Tibbs is showing you and I'm going to follow up on this statement, but I will say at the outset, he's showing you what he can do when you give him a team full of his types of players, which I know in the eyes of many is a demerit because it's like, yeah, but he needs his types of guys. Well, to which I will push back and I will say, well, what makes a Tibbs player? How are you a Tibbs guy? What do you have to do? You have to try your ass off at all times. You have to make shots. You have to be like a functional like player. And if you don't make shots at a consistent basis, you better do everything else really well. Obviously, you got to defend your ass off or at least try really hard to overcome your physical limitations if you have any. You have to be smart. I think that's an underrated part of being a Tibbs player. I think you have to be smart. And maybe the most important thing in his mind is it's not just being unselfish. It's about knowing the line, knowing the difference between like selfishness. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to phrase this, so I'll just give the example. Dante DiVincenzo, over the course of many games over the last 2 months, has put up 16, 17, 18. The other night, he put up 23s. So you might look at that on his face and be like, well, that dude's jacking up a lot of shots. Maybe you should pass the ball a little bit more. No, those shots that he's getting are the best shots that they could get because he's a great shooter and that's not selfish. Is it? It's neither unselfish. Like it's not selfish. I'm not going to sit here and call it unselfish, but it is the proper basketball play. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to make the proper basketball play. Sometimes that is going to require you to do some pride. Jacked it up, what was it, 7 or 8 times in the first quarter tonight? It's because it was the proper basketball play. It was not being selfish. So Tibbs wants someone people who understand the difference between all those sorts of things. And to anybody who, again, will levy a criticism of, well, he needs his guys. what fucking players do you want on your team other than the sorts of players that I just described? What are we doing here? You know? So I don't think that's a valid criticism. I do think he's a great coach. I do think he's it's been an exceptional year because he has, again, a team full of these sorts of players. Do I think he's going to finish top three in coach of the year? At this point, I got to tell you, I would still probably skew no, just because I would be shocked if Mosley's not in the top three. And I know the Thunder lost tonight. Maybe the Thunder really scuffled down the stretch. But again, Dagnall's been the favorite for the entire year. You're telling me he's going to go from favorite to out of the top three? So that's two spots. So you're telling me Tibbs is going to get it over Mazzulla? Maybe. Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. And then the other guy, and I'm belaboring the point because Andrew brought it up before with the advanced stats check. Yeah, the Knicks are fifth in net rating. The team that's in fourth is the New Orleans Pelicans. And nobody talks about, I said this recently, and I'll say it again, nobody talks about Willie Green and the job that he does with that team that has not had a point guard all year. And yes, they've lost some games in the fourth quarter and have had some unfortunate scuffles at times. But man, they go out there, they play their asses off on defense. I think they make the right play. Whenever I watch them, it seems like they're like lots of passing the ball around, like trying to get their good shooters, and they have a lot of them, good looks from behind the arc. Like that team is as well-oiled a machine as you could be without a real point guard. So I just think he also deserves consideration. And, you know, there's another five or so guys, but yes, Tibbs should absolutely get his flowers. 100%.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about T-Squared Social, your new home for watching Knicks games and the new home of Knicks Film School watch parties. Located at 7 East 42nd Street, just a short walk from Grand Central, T-Squared was founded by Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake. Take it from me, this place has everything for a sports fan. Watch the Knicks or any upcoming local or out-of-market events like the Men's and Women's Final Four or the New York Rangers' final push for the President's Trophy. T-Squared Social is also teaming up with Zog Sports for their new Friday Night Sports League starting April 12th. There are leagues for golf, duck pin bowling, darts, and even cornhole at all skill levels. Join with your friends or join solo and make new ones. Deadline is April 3rd and use promo code KFS10 to get 10% off when you sign up. Visit tsquaredsocial.com/leagues and kick off your weekend with some friendly competition and catching all the action from your favorite team. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
Hush Zoo, Brunson 26-point game is just another Wednesday. I'm spoiled. We all are. His scoring average went down tonight. You know? His scoring average went down tonight. He's the head of the snake. It all happens because of him. So yes, thank you for giving him his flowers. And another one from Hushu. What's the ceiling on Devo and Deuce? Feels like we're just scratching the surface with them. This team feels very, very scary when healthy. I'm going to tell you a stat or a couple stats. Over the last, since OG Anunoby and Julius Randle went out, I know OG came back for three games, so I'll include those three games. The Knicks are four games over 500, and Dante DiVincenzo is averaging over 20 points. And if you take away the games that Brunson missed over that stretch of time, which I believe is two or three games, If you want to include the Cavs game in there, but I think you could bump them up another game or two above 500. So this is a team, and I'm not going to sit here and do the math right now, but like, this is a team that, for all intents and purposes, Dante DiVincenzo has not, for all intents and purposes, Dante DiVincenzo has been the second offensive option on for going on. What's today? March 27th. Okay. So for 2 months, he's been the second offensive option. And they are on a pace for the full season. They would be on a, I don't know, would it be a 46, 45, 46, something like that win pace with him as the second offensive option. So you tell me what is that? What is that? What does that look like? What is that, an all-star? Probably not an all-star, but it's like that next level down, isn't it? I think that's a pretty good player. And then Deuce, I kind of talked about Deuce already. I think the ceiling on Deuce. I think the ceiling on Deuce, not to say that he can't start games for a good team. I think the goal for him should be like, I want to find myself in the running for sixth man of the year at some point in my career. To me, if I was Deuce Pride, that would be my goal. I'm going to be a guy who's going to, I could spot start, but like, I'm the first guy off the bench. I could come in for the point guard. I could come in for the two guard. I could come in for the freaking small forward. Doesn't matter. And I'm going to play 30 minutes a night or 25, 30 minutes a night. And I'm going to change everything on defense. And I'm going to make shots. And I'm going to do some other stuff too. So I think that's maybe the ceiling for Deuce. Colin Malouli, longtime listener, first time writer. Thank you for coming aboard. We appreciate you, Colin. Mitch will fit like a glove off the bench. This team is going to turn the garden into Rikers for the way. I like that. I've been to Rikers. It's not the most pleasant place in the world. So yeah, I think opponents will feel the same way. Mitch is fit with the backup unit. Look, I think it's kind of getting to what I talked to Fred about, like the backup unit. The concern with the backup unit is offense. That's the question. How are you solving it? How are you solving that problem? Hardenstein would solve it in one way, or try to solve it, help solve it in one way by juicing the offense a little bit more with all the things that Hardenstein does. But then you're taking away minutes that he plays with Brunson. Okay. How does Mitch help solve it? Well, offensive rebounding, obviously. Great. Hopefully turning defense into offense. You know, the spacing will get a little mucked up depending on who else is out there. But in terms of like his fit with the other guys who are going to be out there, I continue to think that Julius is going to play the non-Brunson minutes. I think that's a day one thing that happens. So Julius and Mitch have had a lot of time together. They have a lot of shared court experience. We know Julius likes passing to Mitch, probably to a fault, but I think those guys will work together fine. And then, you know, you surround him with shooting, and I think you'll be all right. I think you'll be all right. So we'll see. Is it, you know, is maybe Dante in those units? Or maybe we'll see McBride, Dante, and Josh Hart, assuming everybody's back healthy. That's a possibility. Maybe we'll see Dante, Bogey, McBride when everybody's back healthy. And it's Julius and Mitch. I don't know. Well, that's, again, Fred said it on the pod today. Tibbs keeps talking about, I want to see two starters with the bench unit. So Dante and Julius, Bogey, McBride, Mitch. I think that dog will hunt. See what happens. Zach Horowitz, what's going on, my man? Great to hear from you. I usually just say stupid shit, but I have a question, John. How far does this team go if we get either Randall or OG back at close to 100%, but not the other? Then with this squad right here, they bad. So let's do it in two separate components. I think if they get either one back and not the other, they're winning in the first round. If they wind up facing Milwaukee in the second round, man, that's a tough question. Which of those two guys gives them the better chance to beat the Bucks? My gut is to, man, no, that could be said. My gut is to say OG Anunoby, and then as soon as I say OG Anunoby, I am like, but Julius has had, like, he had a great game against the Bucks earlier this year, but they no longer, well, you'd love to have as many bodies as you can to throw at Giannis. And the thing with them is if you have Julius in there, that's another defender for them to pick on. So do we beat the Bucks without Julius but with OG? Man, I don't know about that. That's a tall fucking order to be able to score with that team with Brunson doing all that heavy lifting. I know what I just said about Dr. DiVincenzo and all the love we've been giving to McBride and everybody else. That's a bear. I don't think I would pick them to beat the Bucks if they just had OG. I would not pick them to beat the Bucks if they just had Randall. And if it's Boston, yeah, I don't. Same answer. So I guess the long story short is if we just have one of them and not the other, I think we're getting out of the first round, and I don't think we're getting out of the second round, barring something unforeseen. Of the four options, Julius versus Boston, OG versus Boston, Julius versus Milwaukee, OG versus Milwaukee, the series I'd really want to see is OG with OG versus Milwaukee. I'd want to see that series. I think that'd be fun. Don't know if we'd win. Robert W. Cross, give me Miami, Indiana, Philly, Orlando, Milwaukee, Boston, Cleveland. Ha ha, we up. Respect your opponent, Robert. # Nixon 5. Gotta respect the opponent at all times. They will. That's the good news. They respect every opponent. They respected this Raptors team. You know? That's why they kicked the shit out of them. Joel the writer. Can we still make the second round or conference finals without Julius Randle? # Knicks tape. So I kind of just answered this. I think it'll be incredibly challenging. I mean, look, we could, since I got another question on it here, like, let's just go through. So by the way, I think Julius is coming back. I think Julius is coming back. And I think the only way that we don't have Julius for the second round, first of all, we need to get past the first round of the playoffs. I think if we did that, I think the only way we wouldn't have Julius Randle for the second round of the playoffs is if he came back and he re-injured himself. And that was it. So let's, for argument's sake, right? Cause we're having fun here, right? Although the thought of being without Julius Randle is not fun for me, but let's just play it out. So your starting lineup is Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hart, OG, and Hartenstein. So right off the bat, whoever you're playing they're not gonna guard Hart at all. They will play 20 feet off of Josh Hart from opening jump of that series. So that's something you got to get around and game plan for. Is it just going to be, we're just going to let Josh shoot it, and if he's comfortable, he's going to fire it up, or maybe not let Josh shoot it. We're just going to kick it to Josh and trust that he's either putting it up and making enough to keep them honest, or putting the ball on the floor and attacking the basket and doing damage that way. So that's a challenge, right? So right off the bat, you lose some spacing. You gain defense, gain a lot of defense, but you lose spacing. And then your backups, you're doing McBride, obviously Mitch, and then it gets interesting because you're definitely playing an eighth man. It's either going to be Bogey. You may play Bogey and Precious, maybe only play one of those two. If it's, again, it's like this gets really dicey because if it's Precious and you're pairing Precious with Mitch, again, I know they were fine tonight against this dog shit Raptors team. That's a lot of clogged toilet down there on the, it's a lot of offensive rebounding, but it's a lot of clogged toilet down there by the rim. If it's Bogey, then who do you, what are your two starters who you're playing with, McBride and Bogey and Mitch, presuming that's your Brunson rest minutes? Is it maybe McBride, DiVincenzo, Bogey, OG, Mitch? Okay. Might work. So like they'll have some options. And like, I like the fact that in this alignment, if they want it to be so, they will never have less than three really pretty elite defenders on the floor at once. And they will certainly never have more than one bad defender on the floor at once. You know, Brunson, Bogey, shared minutes notwithstanding. And I don't mean to call Brunson a bad defender, but he's, you know, he has limitations and he can be hunted. I mean, that's a really good team. That's a really good team, but I don't, man, it's a lot to ask for that group to go in and beat Giannis, two top 75 players ever, including one guy who's in the middle of his prime. Thanks, Joe. Juan Flores, what's going on, Juan? Was at the game. Awesome. Shots to Canada. Hilarious seeing, I'm assuming, oh, Bruce Brown stare back at Tibbs after hitting into his only 3 points. What a sight to see Mitch out there again. And that deuce first quarter had me levitating. Hashtag the third seed is ours. Yes, great to see Mitch out there. I feel pretty good about the third seed. Work left to do. There's work left to do. There's always work left to do, especially with Donovan Mitchell coming back. But they're in a good spot right now. Getting that 2-game lead on Orlando, I think, was big. And Orlando has some tough games left, certainly. The Bruce Brown staring back at Tibbs, that's, I wonder what that was about. Because like, I think Tibbs wanted Bruce Brown. I think he wanted to trade for him. Maybe it was a little bit of like, look at what you're missing. I don't know. Kevin Danishevsky, in the spirit of a laugher, I have a general NBA question for you. Why do we not see guys rehab more in the G League before they come back to simulate game speed? I guess they feel like whatever they're doing in practice is sufficient enough. It's a great question. It's a great question. I don't know. The easy answer is like, if they're not doing the thing, it's because they do not feel the thing is necessary and they do not feel the thing adds enough to warrant the trouble. You know, and when guys come back who are of a certain stature, it's like but I get it. They do it in baseball. So that's your question. Like, why do they do it in baseball and not? I think it's different because in baseball, it's more like, you know, you can't really simulate live competition in baseball, like however they practice in baseball. I think that what they do in NBA practice is maybe a little bit different. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you. I'd be curious. That's a good question for Benji or DJ.
Well, we'll ask Benji and DJ. I think you just hit it.
Which
there's
is what?
Scrimmages in basketball practice. Yeah. You can get a look at how a guy looks, probably at G League levels of pace in practice.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's, why don't they, like in football, they have like intra-squad games and practice squads, like, yeah, for that very, very reason. Whereas baseball, it's mostly batting practice. It's mostly simulated games. So I think that's your answer.
There you go. Thanks, Kev. Rafa, what's going on, Rafa? John, true first time, long time. It's great to hear from you, man. But following KFS for years. Well, thank you for coming aboard and thank you for the contribution. Great to see Mitch back, and this team is special. Hoping that Julius Randle recovers well, because this is a finals worthy team. That's more where I'm at. Forget talking about what is their ceiling without Julius. I want to see Julius back. And I want to see them give either Milwaukee or Boston or both, everything that those teams can handle, because they are not going to be afraid. I think the silver lining, and I'm obviously not the first person to say this, but the silver lining for the last 2 months is that all of these freaking guys that have had to step into bigger roles, literally everybody on the roster, including, by the way, Jalen Brunson, who has had to take on, I think the highest like usage rate in the league for a period of time when over the last 2 months, I think it's since went down, but like everybody's had to step into a bigger role and they have succeeded. Think about this. Well, they haven't all succeeded. Who's fallen on their face? The two guys they got from Detroit. But guess what? We are well on our way to envisioning playoff rotations that do not necessarily need to involve either of those guys, but you could also still give them more of a chance. So like, I think that's a silver lining. This team is, they have self-confidence. They're not going to fear anybody. They're well coached, you know, like let's go give it a shot. And it's not like, and that's the other part. It's not like Boston and Milwaukee are not without flaws. I don't need to tell you about Milwaukee's flaws. They've been well documented. As for Boston, they, for as great as they are, there's still that fear. Anytime they're in a close game in the fourth quarter, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes left, are they going to make the right decisions? So, thanks, Rafa.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovated global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Luke Stone, what's going on, Luke? Is Deuce getting any love for Most Improved Player Award? I feel like he deserves at least some consideration. Man, I think the Knicks got a couple of guys. I think DiVincenzo is probably the leader in the clubhouse on this roster. I think you can make a case for freaking Isaiah Hartenstein. But I'd probably put Deuce behind DiVincenzo. The thing with these awards and why I think DiVincenzo would have the greater likelihood of winning it is typically it's given to a guy who makes a leap into all-star status or will make a leap from like a fringe all-star into like a no doubt about it, like all NBA MVP vote getting caliber player. I think that's how Ja Morant won it the other year or recently. All that being said, you like sometimes a big stat jump is enough. And DiVincenzo, so last year he averaged 9.4 points per game with the Warriors. This season he's averaging 14.9 points per game for the Knicks. And his season average, get this, somehow is only 1 minute more that he's playing per game for the Knicks than he was with the Warriors. He's averaging an additional, or he's actually averaging one less rebound because they're not asking him to rebound as much. One fewer assist, so those are both knocks. And then his effective field goal percentage is about the same. His effective field goal percentage last year was 57.4. His effective field goal percentage this year is 58.1. I still think of the two, he would have the better case than Deuce, but just for good measure, I will pull up Deuce's numbers. So Deuce last year, and this does not include tonight, so obviously this average will go up. Here's the problem. He averaged 3.5 points a game this year, last season. this year going into tonight, it was only 7.4. After tonight, it'll, I don't know, probably be 8 or close to 8. You're never going to see a most improved player award go to a guy who's averaging under 10 points a game. And I think there is a significant chance that Deuce McBride is going, unless he just, I mean, he's going to throw up 20 spots every night for the rest of the regular season. But even then, I just think you're not going to have the counting stats. And it's the sort of award where people are going to look and be like, how much did a guy really improve if he's averaging, you know, 8-point-something points per game? Unfair as it is, because that's the other part of it. And like we talked about this with RJ Barrett's candidacy, because RJ started hot and then was like quite bad for 20 whatever games and then has gotten better in Toronto. It's a full season award. So like the fact that Deuce was essentially out of the rotation for the first 30 whatever games or 20 whatever games, whatever it was, like that's part of it. You have to consider that. So that's the tough part. Love life. Can we make Jeremy dancing at the Garden clip a thing every time the Knicks win from here on in?
No. Thank you, Love Life, for the wonderful contribution. I like the photo you have. It looks like a cherry blossoms. Maybe some kind of orchid. Regardless, no. Thank you for the question. John, you're up.
I like how you're giving no explanation. Sam Garcia's dad. Who needs a party bus? Mitch is back. Hashtag riding that D train. If you know, you know. Seriously, so happy to see Mitch back. Can we please start the playoffs already? No, because we need to get our guys back healthy. So let's wait. Listen, Spurs won tonight, by the way. They have Wemby back. I'm assuming Wemby's going to play against us. Now, they had to go down to the final minute to beat a Jazz team that is, I mean, to say that the Jazz are currently tanking is understating what has been happening in Utah lately. I believe since the All-Star break, not only do they have the worst defense in the league, but like the worst defense in the league by like 5 points per 100 possessions or something like that. You know, all that being said, they have a little bit more work left to do. So let's get our guys back. Let's keep racking up some wins. Let's secure that 3 seed. And let's go from there. Jason M. Hi, Jason. Playoff bench will be Deuce, Devo, Hart, Randall or OG, and Mitch. Deuce, Devo, Hart, Randall, OG, and Mitch. If I had to bet on it, yeah. I mean, I'm not. I will die on Bogey Island to think that he may still factor in, probably foolishly. But I think you're probably right. Alex. Hello, Alex. I'd pay to watch Deuce covering JB in a scrimmage. That'd be a fun little investment to make. So yeah, sure. Why not? I'm sure those scrimmages are fun. All right. We are done. This was fun. A fun win. They're all important. An important win. Great to have Mitch back. Great to have Deuce doing Deuce things. And great to be in third place in the freaking standings. I can't believe, with all these freaking injuries, what this team has accomplished. I appreciate it. Enjoy it. Relish it. This is a really special team. Whether they win a championship or make it to the conference finals or even, you know, whatever, they do. This is a special team. So I hope everybody's enjoying it. And read the tweet that you just sent me.
Or the X I just sent you. No, we call them tweets.
I saw this earlier. Bitch is really worried about the Knicks falling into the play-in with all these injuries. It's me. I'm Bitches.
I'm also Bitches.
I was worried, We were all worried. And
many were worried.
Yeah.
We got to work on your cadence there and the delivery on that. It goes, bitch is really worried about the Knicks falling into the play-in with these injuries. It's me. I'm bitches.
I can't do the cool stuff. It's not my wheelhouse. All right, everybody. Don't forget, leave this, give a thumbs up to the video, please. Keep subscribing to the channel. We're over 1500. I hope. I hope nobody unsubscribed.
No, we're almost at 15-1 now. So there you go.
15,001.
Oh, yeah, 15,100. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like 15,001.
No. We're like 15,085 now. Yeah.
Even better. Wonderful. Let's keep onwards and upwards. If you're listening on the podcast, leave a review, give a rating, the whole thing. And we will see everybody. I will see everybody for the post game on Friday. Will I not?
Yes, you will.
I will. Okay. Fantastic. Is everybody
one there? One more. Just read that.
Giovanni Mastretta. Yeah.
Now do Bernard Richardson.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Hold on to the R.
Yeah.
He did it. Have a good night, everybody.